Dear God, we thank you so much for what you've done and what you're doing. We ask that you would be lifted high in our life. God, we ask that you would replace the fear, replace the anxiety. We ask that you would replace the anger, the hate. We ask that you would replace it with grace and love and peace. And God, we ask that you would fill us with thankfulness. Let us look around and see all the good things that we have, all the good things that come from your hand, and praise you for it. Lord God, we pray for those who are less fortunate in whatever way, Lord, whether it's physically, those who are physical ailments, mental ailments, those who are dealing with financial issues, job issues, family issues. God, we pray that you would reach out and touch them. Pray that you would guide us and lead us deeper into relationship with you. And Lord, you would grow our love for those around us. Bless us now. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the preaching of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today, that we would hear your voice. We would fall deeper in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look at Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of God. So our message this morning is called, Like the Tree, Planted, Rooted, and Thankful. And we're going to look at Psalm 1. We're going to kind of move all around the Bible. We're going to talk about trees. We're going to talk about creation. And I think being out in creation just really makes me happy. It fills me with joy. It gives me an opportunity to unplug. And as we talk about unplugging, the thing is we don't really unplug, though, do we? I mean, we unplug from maybe some things, but we're trying to plug into something else. The world's fascination with unplugging is interesting. You have the unplug and play, unplug and connect. Unplugging is good. Unplugging is always good. And therefore, plugging in is bad. But this morning, I want to suggest to you that we're blessed because we are plugged in. The key is what we're plugged into. And to kind of transition the metaphor to a creation theme, not just what we're plugged into, but what we're planted in. Because it's easy to look around us and see the beauty of creation. To see the water and the mountains and the plants and the animals and the trees. It's absolutely awe-inspiring. It's beautiful. It's grand. And in addition to that, I think I see in creation all kinds of principles, all kinds of object lessons, if you will, built into creation. The biblical writers see this too. They take from nature to illustrate all kinds of things. They take from the grasshopper, the vine, the fruit. They reference eagles and deer and the sea. Jesus uses creation to tell us about the kingdom of God and about faith and trust when he talks about the mustard seed and the sparrow and the lilies of the field. And see, I think this is part of what is written in the book of Romans about people having no excuse for not knowing there's a God. Because not only is there the fact that there's something instead of nothing, but that something is ordered, that something bears the mark of an intelligence that actually speaks to us about God and about his nature. Nature teaches us not only that there is a God, but it teaches us about this God. And so today I want to take the theme of a tree and use it as a background for seeing and understanding God's blessings for the purpose of cultivating thankfulness in us. That's our goal today. I want to cultivate thankfulness in our hearts by seeing and understanding God's blessings through this window. Because really there's two ways we can go. We can go down the path of cynicism and anger. We can go down the path of entitlement and hate. That's one path that we can go down. Or we can go down the path of thankfulness and gratitude. And see, really, there are only two paths. And this is borne out by nature as well. And it's a common theme in the Bible. Two paths. One towards God, one away from Him. Choose this day whom you will serve. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot have two masters. See, many people might tell you that, well, all paths lead to God. And you know what? To be fair, there is some truth to that. See, because all of our lives will end in standing before God. All of us will stand before the judgment seat. All of us will see God one day. All of us will bow one day. And so in some way, all paths do lead to God. But only one path leads into the kingdom. All paths might bring us to the throne of judgment, but not all paths bring us into the family. See, there's only one path that does that. And so we can group all the paths into two basic directions, towards God and into His kingdom, or away from God and away from His kingdom. Jesus uses the same dichotomy in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about the broad and the narrow gate, the easy and the hard path, the house on the rock or the house on the sand, the good tree and the bad tree. Popular culture, we see it in the old Robert Frost poem, right? Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. This is really the draw of the world. This is what it says, well, travel both. Have one foot in each path. Don't be too committed to either. But what Jesus says is completely different. He calls us to one path, the path of righteousness, the path of blessing. And in Psalm 1, we find the same split. There is the righteous one and the wicked one, the one who is blessed by God and the one whose path leads to destruction. So finally, we come to our example, our theme for today, our object lesson. Psalm 1 says that this blessed person who walks in the path of the righteous, who delights in the law of the Lord, he says they're like a tree. But not just any old tree. Specifically, a tree planted by streams of water. And a tree that's planted by streams will stay watered regardless of how parched the land is around them. It might be in the middle of a desert, but what's always present in the middle of the desert where there's an oasis? Trees. And so, friends, if we are the righteous ones, if we are the blessed ones, and we're blessed because God has brought us into our family, if we are the blessed ones, then no matter how parched the land is around us, no matter how much of a desert we live in, we are well watered. Because we're planted by the stream of living water. Because this tree in Psalm 1 is planted not by accident, but intentionally planted beside streams so that it will yield its fruit in season, so that its leaf doesn't wither. Friends, how blessed are we that God has planted us beside the streams. Thank you, God, for planting us by the stream of life. And see, being planted by the stream allows us to have deep roots, these deep roots that reach down to the water in order to be fed. And these roots keep us fed, but they also keep us secure and fruitful. And being rooted is a blessing. See, when you're planting trees, one of the most important ways to ensure the success of a tree is to plant the right tree in the right place. Is there a lot of sun or a lot of shade? Is it windy or is it calm? And since God has planted us, we can trust that He has planted the right tree in the right place. He has planted you in your subdivision. He has planted you in your neighborhood. He has planted you in your town, your village, your job, your social group. Why? Because He wants you to be there. He wants you to bear fruit there. Do you want to do great things for the kingdom? Bear fruit where He has planted you. You want to do great things for the kingdom? You want to do something that will make angels celebrate? Evangelize your neighbors. Bear fruit where He has planted you. How blessed we are that we have deep roots. In the New Testament, Paul picks up on this tree theme and talks about what we're rooted in. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. We're rooted in Christ. And see, these strong roots not only give us strength and give us thankfulness and give us nutrients, but they keep us secure. They give us security. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Like I said, even if the land around us is a desert, even if we're in a drought and the heat comes, we are secure. We are rooted in Christ. Even if the world around us is burning up, even if the world around us is going crazy, even if the world around us is kind of like 2020, we have no worries. Because we are rooted in Christ. He is the source of our blessing. He is the stream of living water that feeds us and in fact overflows out of us. That's what Paul says in Colossians. Overflowing with thankfulness. And so thank you, God, for giving us roots deep and secure. And because we're planted and because we're rooted and because we have nutrients and we're secure, we will flourish. When we're rooted in Christ, we will flourish, drawing from the streams of life. Psalm 92 repeats again. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Look where the righteous are planted now. They're planted in the house of the Lord, in the courts of our God, being close to the presence of the Lord, drawing our life from him as we're rooted in Christ. When you look in Ezekiel's vision of the temple, the water from the sanctuary waters the trees. It flows out of the middle of the sanctuary where God is, where his presence is, and it waters all the trees. So being planted by the stream and being planted in the house of God are one and the same. It's the same metaphor, the same vision. But this Psalm 92 verse is particularly encouraging. It says this: they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Why? Because they are the Lord's righteous people. All of us who stay rooted in Christ will bear fruit even into our old age. How thankful and how blessed we are that God will not let us wither away, but will sustain us and cause us to flourish regardless of our age. And it is being in Christ that causes us to bear fruit. Planted, rooted in Christ, in the presence of God, causes us to bear fruit. Fruit for the kingdom. Fruit for the benefit of the world. Martin Luther once said that God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. That is, God doesn't require your fruit, but he grows it in you for the sake of the world, for the sake of his kingdom, so that you and I can be light and salt and can impact the world around us. In Ezekiel 47, it says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. In Proverbs, it goes so far to say that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves. The fruit that God produces in you and through you is a tree of life for others. They see the fruit in you and they want to have it. And fruit is an interesting thing. It serves many purposes. One purpose is for the tree that produces it. Fruit contains and protects the seeds of the plant. It helps it with spreading those seeds by being attractive and tasty to animals. So the other purpose that fruit serves is it feeds the animals. Right, and so we have both these things that the fruit produces, that the tree produces fruit that is attractive, and therefore the animals come and they eat the fruit and they spread the seeds while being fed. Both purposes are important and needed. Right, and in this we find another lesson: as we produce fruit, it is beneficial to us, because as we produce fruit that is attractive to those around us, it spreads the kingdom. It shows the kingdom, but it also, it's beneficial to them because they take it and they're fed. And even if they don't know God, even if they're far from God, by our fruit producing, they get a taste. They get a taste of the blessing of God. And then as they eat the fruit and they begin to produce fruit, they share the kingdom and spread the kingdom, and the kingdom grows in them as well. How awesome is that? That God bears fruit in us. How thankful that we get to be beneficial to the world around us. That we get to participate in His mission to the world. And finally, we're blessed through Christ. You might be tempted to measure blessing through money, through health, reputation, or other worldly measures, but don't. What is this blessing we receive from God? It's the Lord watching over us. It's Christ being with us. Look who's blessed in the Sermon on the Mount. Not the rich, not the prosperous, but the downtrodden, the poor in spirit, the peacemakers. They are blessed with the presence of Christ. Why is the person in Psalm 1 blessed? Because the Lord watches over their way. Because they're planted and rooted by the stream. Not because they're rich and they're prospering and they're doing all these great things, but because they have everything they need. Don't try to count your blessings the way you would count your dollars, but look and see what the Lord has done for you in the good times as well as in the struggles. In Ezekiel again, 17, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is a prophecy of God's people. That God will take its tender sprig, plant it in the mountain heights of Israel, and it will produce branches. And it will produce fruit. And birds will find shade, comfort, and food. So friends, be like the tree. Be planted, be rooted, be secure, bear fruit, be blessed in Christ. Glorify God in your life with overflowing, and glorify God in your life and be overflowing with thankfulness. Choose and stay on the good path, for the Lord watches over you. Don't unplug from everything, but stay plugged, stay planted beside the stream. Learn the lesson of the tree. Learn the lesson from creation. And one last lesson. Well, you won't always avoid walking in step with the wicked. Jesus did. Well, you might sometime stand in the way of sinners or sit with mockers. Jesus never did. And while you might not always walk the path of the righteous, it's Jesus' righteousness that holds you. It's Jesus' righteousness that is given to you. And it's Him that we are rooted in. How thankful are we that we are rooted in Christ, secure and saved. Amen. Let's sing to all creatures. Let's sing all creatures of our God and King together.